The dancing club was a bal musette in the Rue de la Montagne Saint-Geneviève. 5 nights a week, the working people of the Pantheon Quarter danced there. One night a week, it was the dancing club. On Monday nights, it was closed. When we arrived, it was quite empty except for a policeman sitting near the door, the wife of the proprietor back of the zinc bar, and the proprietor himself. The daughter of the house came downstairs as we went in. There were long benches, and tables ran across the room, and at the far end, a dancing floor. "I wish people would come earlier," Braddock said. The daughter came up and wanted to know what we would drink. The proprietor got up on a high stool beside the dancing floor and began to play the accordion. He had a string of bells around one of his ankles and beat time with his foot as he played. Everyone danced. It was hot, and we came off the floor perspiring.
"My God," Georgette said, "what a box to sweat in."
"It's hot."
"Hot, my God."
"Take off your hat."
"That's a good idea."
Someone asked Georgette to dance, and I went over to the bar. It was really very hot, and the accordion music was pleasant in the hot night. I drank a beer, standing in the doorway and getting the cool breath of wind from the street. Two taxis were coming down the steep street. They both stopped in front of the bal. A crowd of young men, some in jerseys and some in their shirt sleeves, got out. I could see their hands and newly washed, wavy hair in the light from the door. The policeman standing by the door looked at me and smiled. They came in. As they went in, under the light, I saw white hands, wavy hair, white faces, grimacing, gesturing, talking. With them was Brett. She looked very lovely, and she was very much with them. One of them saw Georgette and said,
"I do declare there is an actual harlot. I'm going to dance with her, Let. You watch me."
A tall, dark one, called Let, said, "Don't you be rash." The wavy blonde one answered, "Don't you worry, dear." And with them was Brett. I was very angry. Somehow they always made me angry. I know they're supposed to be amusing and you should be tolerant, but I wanted to swing on one. Anyone. Anything to shatter that superior simpering composure. Instead, I walked down the street and had a beer at the bar at the next bal. The beer was not good, and I had a worse cognac to take the taste out of my mouth. When I came back to the bal, there was a crowd on the floor, and Georgette was dancing with the tall blonde youth who danced big hippily, carrying his head on one side, his eyes lifted as he danced. As soon as the music stopped, another one of them asked her to dance. She'd been taken up by them. I knew then that they would all dance with her. They're like that. I sat down at a table. Cone was sitting there. Francis was dancing. Mrs. Braddock brought up somebody and introduced him as Robert Prentice. He was from New York by way of Chicago and was a rising new novelist. He had some sort of an English accent. I asked him to have a drink.
"Thanks so much," he said. "I've just had one."
"Have another."
"Thanks, I will then."
We got the daughter of the house over and each had a finalo.
"You are from Kansas City, they tell me," he said.
"Yes."
"You find Paris amusing?"
"Yes."
"Really?"
I was a little drunk, not drunk in any positive sense, but just enough to be careless. "For God's sake," I said, "yes, don't you?"
"Oh, how charmingly you get angry," he said. "I wish I had that faculty."
I got up and walked over toward the dancing floor. Mrs. Braddock followed me. "Don't be cross with Robert," she said. "He's still only a child, you know." "I wasn't cross," I said. "I just thought perhaps I was going to throw up." "Your fiancé is having a great success." Mrs. Braddock looked out on the floor where Georgette was dancing in the arms of the tall, dark one called Let. "Isn't she?" I said.
"Rather," said Mrs. Braddock's.